Friday the 17th of December, almost the end of another year, 1 week to Christmas. You're listening to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Candice Jones. Hi, Candice.
Hey, Duncan.
So, a bit of a special edition for this podcast, being the end of the year. We thought, let's have a look back at the big stories of 2010. Candice, yourself and I have drawn up what we believe are the top five stories each for the year. And we're going to go through those this episode. So, let's get it kicked off. Candice, what's your number five story?
Well, my number five story is that we finally have competition in the pay TV market. Top TV Yay. Launched this year under the banner of the business on digital media. Finally, after many false starts, we finally have someone who's running competition head-to-head with MultiChoice.
Yeah, it's one of what was meant to be several competitors to the incumbent operator DSTV. Or MultiChoice, as you say, the others haven't really got off the ground, have they?
No, not yet. Super 5 Media is still hanging on by a thread, from what I understand. Although I haven't managed to speak to them in a couple of months. Walking on Water, which is the Christian-based channel or set of channels, as it turns out, is hopefully going to come into the fray next year. So, you know, Top TV was the only one who had their ducks in a row and managed to get off the ground this year. And, you know, the selection is pretty decent, and they're looking at launching HDTV as well, which will be a must for them over the next couple of years. And interestingly enough, what will really kick them into high gear is getting a competitive sports set of sports channels. We'll see what they do next year. And, you know, so far so good. They've picked up a lot of customers in the LSMs that they were looking for. So, you know, kudos to them. Well done. Congratulations.
Yeah, we know they've got at least 100,000 active customers. That they're not actually publishing numbers, let's say, for competitive reasons. But we know it's well in excess of 100,000 subscribers. So it's not bad, just given that they launched in May. I think the biggest thing holding Top TV back is the lack of sports content, though. It's a soccer crazy country, especially in the target market that they're going after, the sort of LSM 5-8 target market. And I think in the next year or two, they are going to have to do something about getting sports rights, especially local PSL soccer and possibly rugby as well. Although those both are tied up by MultiChoice, so it's going to be interesting to see how they go about doing that.
Well, MultiChoice will not have the exclusive rights over those forever.
No.
And as soon as that falls away, I'm sure that they'll jump in there and make their own bid. And I'm sure with the subscriber base that they've got going now and the support from the IDC, they can get some serious financial backing in terms of outbidding MultiChoice on those exclusive rights.
Yes, yes. The challenge, I suppose, is that MultiChoice is backed by this beast of a company called NASPAT with very deep pockets.
Indeed.
And the challenge, I suppose, is, you know, they see sports as a really important key to their a component rather of their DSTV offering. And I think if their PSL rights or certainly their Super 14 or Super 15 rights were under threat, they would dig out the cash and make sure that they kept it. And I don't think on digital media that has quite a lot of financial backing behind it necessarily has the financial muscle of a NASPAT/MultiChoice to bid for some of these rights.
Look, I think that they are on the back foot in that respect, but, you know, the more coverage that these sports events get, the better off they are. So exclusivity might not be a future investment for MultiChoice anymore.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, we should know whether WOW TV, Walking on Water Television, is going to launch early next year. They are, as far as we understand, still progressing in that direction. Super 5 Media looks altogether more of an unlikely option at this stage. As you say, they're hanging on by a thread, but you know, after they retrenched all of their employees, I have my doubts that Super 5 Media will ever see the light of day.
Myself, I have been reassured by one of the directors that that's not the case, but since the last interview with the director, unfortunately, they haven't been very forthcoming on information and requests for updates. So, you know, I also have my doubts about whether or not it will survive.
Good. Well, Candice, that segues nicely into my number five pick for 2010, which I'm going to classify under the broad title television. I think it's actually been quite an extraordinary year for television and how technology is changing this decades-old medium. We're seeing increasingly how television and broadband are starting to merge. And I think one of the big stories of 2011 is going to be triple play. I think we're going to start to see some providers here looking at providing content over DSL, for example, but also offering a range of telephony, television, and broadband options. And I think we may see some closer collaboration there between MWeb and MultiChoice in offering products, and we may even see Telkom potentially getting into this market with other content providers. Pinky Moholi, the managing director of Telkom South Africa, said over a lunch the other day that Telkom is looking with quite some interest at the content market and the triple play market specifically. So it'll be quite interesting to see what Telkom comes up with next year. But I think we've been talking about this for a number of years now, but I think we may finally see triple play becoming a reality in South Africa, triple play of some description becoming a reality in South Africa in 2011. But in other respects, television has just been a really big story this year, just in terms of the incredible technology advances we've seen. I don't know if you've had a chance yet, Candice, to see 3D TV in action.
I have. I have to be honest, though, I think it's a little bit of a gimmick. They did try it, I think, in the early 80s. I think Jaws was one of the first movies created in 3D, and it didn't last. It didn't go anywhere. And while it's far more sophisticated now, I honestly don't see the value.
I think there may be value in live sports and that sort of thing. But you're right, it's the jury is still out on 3D TV about whether or not it's just a gimmicky thing or whether it's going to be a common standard in the future. I think the prices will have to come down. You may find, in fact, that the 3D just gets built into television sets as a standard in a couple of years, and then people will just use their 3D glasses when it makes sense to watch 3D entertainment. But for the most part, they'll just watch normal 2D content.
I think once we develop into, you know, the projector style home TV viewing and more holographic options, I think then 3D might become more interesting. But until then, I don't know if it's actually anything worthwhile.
Yeah.
For me personally, when I saw my first 3D movie, I could have watched that in 2D and had exactly the same experience. But, you know, at the end of the day, perhaps I'm a little bit of a skeptic.
Yeah. But plenty of development there, and it's going to continue for the next few years. It just amazes me how the cost of this technology has plummeted, I guess, as we've got economies of scale, as the Chinese start producing these TVs en masse. We've seen prices plummet. So, you know, as Veena Govender, the managing director of On Digital Media, the top TV owners, pointed out to me the other day, even the lower LSMs now are buying HD TVs as a default rather than going for the old CRT option. The old CRT TV seems to be pretty much dead now.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's definitely been on the up and up this year. The full HD feature TVs,
definitely
something I wouldn't give up in a heartbeat.
But there's been plenty of rumors as well around content providers potentially coming into this market. I've been hearing murmurings on and off over the last couple of months that we may have Netflix here in South Africa soon, which would be pretty awesome, you know, the other content providers potentially coming into the space. So we've got MultiChoice themselves planning to offer this box office service soon, which basically is transactional video on demand offerings competing with the video stores, except you'll just buy the latest movies or rent the latest movies over the air straight to your HD PVR. That's coming, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot more development in this space. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if television is the big story of 2011 in the South African technology space.
I wouldn't be surprised either, specifically content-wise. I think with our broadband prices plummeting and access becoming much more prolific, the content space will be definitely the story to watch in 2010.
Yeah.
11.
Yeah. It's almost 2011. Good. Let's move on to your next pick, Candice. What's your number four for this year?
It definitely feeds into that because with the increase in content, the increase in broadband, there's been a fantastic boom in the data center cloud computing market this year, and definitely something that's going to happen. Definitely going to be a growth spurt next year. You look at the likes of Business Connection with their new data centers. Neotel built two new data centers this year. Standard Bank's huge. Unbelievably massive data center. I cannot stress how big it is. It's incredible. I know Telkom, MTN, and Vodacom have all been, you know, seriously focused on their business sides with Telkom's launch of CyberNest, which is also a big cloud computing strategy. Internet Solutions, obviously the front runner in that. They've had a lot of time to grow out their data centers and work into cloud. And, you know, we're looking at a lot of businesses letting go of their tin and their actual hardware inside their businesses and putting them into data centers for cloud-specific services, which is fantastic. It's definitely growing this year. I know Teraco, the sort of open data center, they're not operator-specific, so you can get your connectivity from any provider at any given time, which is a fantastic story. And they just really outgrown everybody else this year and done very, very well. It's really the success story in South Africa.
Data centers have been a very, very big story this year. I'm not chatting to Johan van Heestien, who's the head of cloud services at Business Connection, about their data center facilities and what they're doing in terms of offering private enterprise security-based cloud services to corporate South Africa. And the amount of interest they're seeing is just phenomenal. As you say, there's just been so much investment. The Standard Bank one is obviously the biggie. I mean, 1.6 billion rand on a data center before you even put any computer equipment in it.
It's just boggles the brain.
It does indeed. It's the only purpose-built Tier 4 data center in the Southern Hemisphere, according to Standard Bank, or rather in Africa, I beg your pardon. Only purpose-built Tier 4 data center in Africa. There are other Tier 4 data centers in the South African market, including Business Connections one, although those weren't purpose-built or custom-built around Tier 4. They were later certified Tier 4 after being constructed, as I understand it. And Teraco is also, as you say, the vendor, they call themselves the vendor-neutral data center operator. They're looking to build a new data center in Johannesburg, either 30 kilometers south or 30 kilometers north of their current site in Isando, and a huge facility they're looking to build as well, and they're looking to expand in Durban and Cape Town as well with new facilities. So, it's certainly been the year of data centers. I just hope Eskom can keep up with all the demand for power that these things are going to be drawing.
Yeah, well, there are innovative new power options, and I think we will see more of that coming up in the new year. For me, what really is interesting is that the boom in the data center will really drive the cloud acceptance next year, yeah. I think, and it'll be interesting to see what comes out of it.
I think it's fantastic. We're going to see, I think, more of these content providers starting to move into these data centers. The real challenge we've got now is the last mile, and how are we going to address that?
Well, I know Neotel is already providing content, not in South Africa, but outside of South Africa. They're streaming broadcasting services through their data center into other countries in Africa. And that's quite an interesting story that we're hoping to see replicated in South Africa later this year, next year. So perhaps that'll happen.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking we need someone to come along and start to deploy fiber to the home in South Africa. I know it's a very expensive proposition. Because of the fact that we're all so spread out, we don't live in big apartment blocks like they do in Asia. We like our open spaces and our houses all spread out. And, you know, Joburg is probably one of the vastest cities in the world in terms of just the sheer space it takes up. I think we may see some operators looking at cherry-picking certain residential areas at some point in the near future to start to offer real triple play and quad play services into the home. So let's hope we start to see that, because something needs to happen in the last mile. Of course, local loop unbundling is coming in about 10 or 11 months. And Candice, you've been looking at that in some detail. It looks like Telkom is making quite a bit of progress in terms of getting itself ready for local loop unbundling and allowing other operators access to its last mile of copper cable. You chatted to BT the other day about it.
I did. As you know, BT has a very long and extensive experience in local loop unbundling, since as a company itself had to do it in the UK. Started in 1984 and has been actually accelerated into the year 2000 and has been, you know, doing very well since then. But apparently, according to BT, they've been in long discussions with Telkom about how to do it, and Telkom seems to have been preparing the business model to actually get this right. Splitting up its business into separate business units, including Telkom Wholesale, which could become something like BT's Openreach, which is the business that actually manages the last mile for the government, on behalf of the government, and allowing other operators access to it, which, you know, maybe we'll see Telkom do the same.
Yeah, you made the point in your article, though, that the Ofcom, the regulator in the UK, policed Openreach, and continues to police Openreach very closely.
With a heavy hand. Yes, there's a specific task team that is in place to monitor Openreach and make sure that it remains transparent and that it supplies access to the last mile to other operators at the exact same price that it supplies to BT, because Openreach technically is still a BT company.
So
it's monitored very heavily, and that will be something that the local regulator will have to sort of step up if this happens locally.
Yeah, well, let's hope they have the capacity to do that.
Well, from what I understand, they are growing out their capacity, so perhaps they will.
Let's see. But that local loop unbundling, again, a big story for next year. Cloud computing, that's a good one, Candice. My fourth place to pick for this year has to be Telkom's ATA, new mobile operator in the South African market. South Africa is effectively South Africa's fourth mobile operator, launched by our incumbent fixed line provider, Telkom. And we haven't got latest stats, but basically a month after launching, they said they had around just under 200,000 paid up subscribers. We don't know much about these subscribers at this point and what the ARPU levels are they're generating for Telkom, namely the average revenue per user, which is a very key measure for mobile operators or operators generally, in fact. But fourth player in the market, they probably haven't shaken things up to the extent that consumers perhaps would have hoped that they would have. But they have brought some innovative offerings into the market, particularly around mobile to fixed line call rates of 65 cents a minute, which is significantly below the rates charged by the other mobile operators. And we've also seen their offer where you will receive airtime for time that you spend on the phone receiving calls from people from any other network. So I think it's 3-for-1. You get one free minute for every 3 minutes you receive a call of airtime to use on the ATA network. What do you think of what ATA's achieved in the couple of months since launch?
Well, I think they must have done something right. The number of users is a good number of users, and it's something that Cell C, when they launched, took a very long time to achieve. But at the end of the day, it's great to have competition. It's great to have an alternative to the incumbents that are have sort of dominated the market for so long. And we'll see. They could have been more aggressive. I agree. They could have been price point more aggressive. But they have done well. And definitely the make 5 SMSs, send 5 SMSs, and get 50 free. That's also very innovative and a good eye-opener for the lower LSM market. Whether those are the people that they want on the network, it remains to be seen.
Yeah, I don't know what market they're actually chasing here. I mean, I don't understand their advertising campaign, but then maybe I'm not the target market for their advertising campaign. It just seems a bit all over the place. I'm not quite sure what you end user they're trying to reach through that campaign. I don't know if you feel the same about that campaign, Candice, or what your views of it are.
I don't. I actually enjoy the campaign. I think it's been quite exciting and quite fun and very, very different. I think that Telkom sort of got the raw end of the deal at the launch date because it was simply just before the Luri Awards, which means that every advertising agency is going out for something strange and unusual, and that's definitely what Telkom has on the market at the moment. But I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I think for me that they're targeting the everyday person. I think the one ads sort of there's a really grumpy guy and he kicks everything and he crashes his car over 5 seconds, and then he meets a very grumpy girl who also crashes her car every 5 seconds, and they fall in love because they're the same. And it's just an everyday, this is what happens, I've had a really bad day kind of ad. I really enjoy them. I don't know, I think they're fun.
I think they're quite entertaining, but I'm still not sure what the purpose of what they're trying to achieve is. As far as I'm concerned, you want to get market share quickly. You go out there with a compelling pricing offer, and you aggressively market the fact that you've got the best offer in the market. But then I suppose they don't want to do that because they don't want to invite a price war from their rivals. Because as the smallest and the newest operator in the space, the last thing you want is a price war with the incumbents.
Well, they still want to have some margin at the end of the day.
Yes. And this is Telkom we're talking about.
Well, I mean, I think they all want margin. I don't think any of them want a price war on their hands.
Yes.
That we've seen that across Africa and how that's really put a span in a lot of operators' works, specifically with upkeep and rollout of additional networks. So we don't want that, but we do want prices at a point where they're competitive and compelling.
Yes, yes. Good. Candice, I think let's take a break there. We'll come back with our top three picks right after this.
Welcome aboard Voxair Teleconferencing, where you can enjoy first-class service at a fraction of the cost, without the wait or the jet lag. Just an automated, hassle-free way to connect with people wherever they are, and all the legroom you need. It's like being there without the hassle of getting there. So why travel for business when you can simply teleconference? Call 01-0001-0001 or visit voxair.co.za. Voxair Teleconferencing from Vox.
After the advent of the telephone, it took mankind 70 years to invent the color television. And yet, it only took the next 23 years to invent lasers, the internet, to put a man on the moon. Ignition sequence start. It begs the question, what will the business world be like in the next 23 years? Wherever your business is at, Telkom Business will be there with you. Telkom Business.
Virtual Access, ECN's latest cost-saving telecom service. Virtual Access is a single 0860 number, providing your customers with national access to your company, no matter how many branches you have or where your customers are calling from. If you are currently using or plan to use an 0860 number, you need to talk to ECN. Virtual Access is the best price single national number offering in the market. For more, visit ecntelecoms.com. ECN, lowering the cost of doing business.
Welcome back to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. We're counting down our top five picks for news stories for 2010. Candice has picked five and I've picked five, and we're working our way down the list. We're at number three. Candice, what's your number three pick for this year?
Well, it's not a good news story, unfortunately. It's the debacle around digital terrestrial TV migration. Currently we're broadcasting on analog and we're hoping to move over to digital before 2015. However, major spanner in the works was the communications department earlier this year reviewing a standard that we had chosen in 2006 or agreed to use in 2006 under a Geneva signature, and saying introducing a second standard which has been implemented by the Brazilians, and it's a sort of a hash of a Japanese standard called ISDBT. We've been running through this all year, and it's been quite a heated debate between the broadcasters locally and the broadcasters in Brazil and Japan, something of a mudslinging match between them, and it sort of sent the SADC, the Southern African Development Community region, into a bit of a tailspin, since we all have to choose the same standard because it will foster trade and will help keep the broadcasting signal from being interfered with if we use separate standards. So the SADC region went into deliberations about which would be the best standard to use, and well, finally they've come up with an answer, and that was the original standard which we chose in 2006.
With a caveat, they've proposed the second generation of that standard.
Absolutely, which is a very good thing. I suppose at the end of the day it was a sort of a good thing that the review happened, because now we can go directly into the upgraded European standard, which is called DVB-T2.
Yes.
We're still waiting on the Department of Communications to make its announcement on it, because South African broadcasters will have to wait and see what the South African Department of Communications will choose, because the SADC decision has sort of allowed for other standards to be chosen as long as they are ratified. So we'll have to wait and see on that one.
But I think we'll know by next week, this time next week, what standards South Africa is going to go for. And I suspect that... and I'm putting my neck on the line a bit here, but I suspect that we're going to go for DVB-T2.
I hope so, but I know a lot of broadcasters are a little bit despondent at the moment. We had hoped for a quicker response from the department, but if we do go DVB-T2, the upgraded European standard, things can really get kicked off early next year, and a pace can be set, and hopefully we'll make the deadline, although I'm not sure we will.
Mm. Mid-2015 is the deadline, although it would be great if we could move before that, because it will free up the spectrum in that band, in the UHF band, that can then be used for providing wireless broadband services using the next generation of cellular technology known as long-term evolution, or LTE.
Which would be great for us.
Yeah. But I think if we go DVB-T2, then perhaps, almost a year has been wasted on the standards debate issue, but perhaps it hasn't all gone to waste, as you say. because T2 is a lot better than the original DVB-T standard and will allow for greater what's called spectral efficiency. So we'll get more channels, more choice for consumers, which is great at the end.
More exciting, we can get more HD channels, which are which is a definite possibility for the public broadcaster and free-to-air broadcaster like ETV, and definitely from Mnet.
Yes.
The paid-for broadcaster.
Yes. Well, I'm not sure what ETV in high definition I'm going to see.
Friday Action Night.
Action Night on E and HD and WWE in HD. God. Okay.
Could be fun.
Yes. No, not really. let's move along. My third pick for number three, or my third place pick for this year, for story of the year for 2010, is uncapped broadband. I think this has been a big story this year. I think it was back in March that MWeb first basically dropped a bombshell on the ISP market and the consumer market in South Africa with announcing that they were introducing uncapped broadband at what are still very expensive rates internationally, but in the South African context were fantastic. The first what we keep calling reasonably affordable rates for uncapped broadband. They really threw the cat among the pigeons, and we saw some other service providers, both privately and publicly, dissing MWeb for doing this, suggesting that it's going to degrade the quality of the experience for South African consumers. Although the people I speak to on MWeb Uncapped say that the experience is great. They've got no problem with it.
Well, I am, and I have never really felt the throttling, if there has been any, and I use the internet in a different way now. I no longer worry about what I'm watching or reading or downloading. It literally is a different experience to a capped experience.
Yes, yes. I'm still on a capped solution here, but I'm giving serious thought about moving my home DSL to an uncapped offering. And everyone seems to be fairly happy with MWeb, so I think I'll sign up as a customer.
AfriHost has also got a very, very good solution, and their uncapped has been very good as well.
Has it been good? Okay. I know that AfriHost had some teething problems initially. I buy most of my bandwidth from AfriHost at the moment, but on a capped solution, I find them excellent. They use Internet Solutions as their backbone, but they did seem to have some teething problems with uncapped initially. But if they've sorted them out now, maybe I should consider them as well.
It's definitely worth considering. I think we've got a couple of really good guys at the moment on the market, and the competition has really been driven quite well this year. So, you can basically throw a stone and find a decent internet connection at the moment, but definitely AfriHost and MWeb are at the top of that list.
Mm. Great, yeah. And local loop unbundling next year, of course, is going to have a big impact on the space potentially, in that companies like MWeb will have access to telecoms exchanges. And I'm using the word potentially here because we don't know what agreements the ICASA is going to reach a telecom around our local loop unbundling and how it's going to be priced and how exactly it's going to be done. But
well, at the moment, the way that they're getting the access to the customer is pretty reasonable. I mean, they would like to see those prices drop, definitely. But at the end of the day, they're getting pretty decent wholesale prices. So
for bandwidth, but the problem is not the bandwidth. The problem is the DSL line rental that we charge, which I think particularly if you've got a fast connection is exorbitantly high. I mean, I've got a 4 megabit per second connection. Just for the DSL line rental, I'm paying 414 rand a month, which seems ludicrous.
It is. And you will see a lot of that pricing drop if the internet service providers take up access to the local loop, to the last mile copper.
Depending on what
lines.
Agreements, of course, Telkom and ICASA reach with each other on how this is going to be done.
Yes, and that's a wait and see game. We'll have to see how ICASA stipulates those regulations.
But I'm sure there are going to be local loop unbundling hearings, public hearings held
next
year, and they're going to have to do them quite early next year, I think, if they're going to get the regulations out in time. So LLU hearings, I would guess, probably by the first quarter of next year.
But from what I understand from my source within ICASA, they actually are working quite hard on the LLU regulations, and they have some really top-notch guys working on what to do. So we'll see.
Good. Yeah. That's great. That's great to hear, actually. I presume they'll have to release some sort of draft regulations ahead of the hearings, and then there'll be discussions around that.
Yeah.
And then they'll put out the final regulations, and then Telkom will sue them.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Okay. So broadband, yeah, I think we'll continue to see broadband pricing coming down in 2011, particularly when we once we see the some more of this terrestrial, national terrestrial fiber going in, and once we see the big West Coast cable, the name of which has eluded me, WAX. Once WAX, WAX, how could I forget that? Once WAX, the West African cable system, comes on stream in the middle of next year. That's 5.1 terabit per second design capacity cable. We will be awash in more bandwidth, so prices should start to come down again. Although this last mile is now the real bottleneck, so that those LOU regulations need to get here quite quickly. Just as the last point on that, it'll be interesting to see, given that South Africans predominantly access the internet and telephony through mobile phones and wireless networks, it'll be interesting to see whether ICASA talks up unbundling of the wireless local loop as well. There have been some murmurings that they may look at that. I think there may be a real big bun fight with the mobile operators if they do attempt anything like that.
Well, a true story. I think the only company that really didn't have to build it sort of on its own, having the backing of Telkom as an investor, was Vodacom. Although MTN will fight tooth and nail because they literally, the entire investment is theirs.
Yes. I suppose the argument that could be made is that they were protected from competition in that there were only two operators for a long period of time, and that they were able to build their networks free of I know Alan or Craig, the ex-CEO of Vodacom, will disagree with me fundamentally when I say this, but they did. Both Vodacom and MTN operated in a market that was protected from competition. They competed with each other and nobody else.
Definitely.
So I'm sure if there was an argument to be made around local loop unbundling on the cellular networks, wireless local loop unbundling, those are the sort of arguments that will come to the fore.
Well, they did pay premium for those licenses.
Mm.
I think the license fee was 100 million, and that's something that Neotel tried to get scrapped because not long after they were licensed, 400 other operators were licensed as well. So arguably they did pay for that protection.
Mm. Number two, Candice, on your list, what have you got for us?
My number two is definitely has been a strong story of the year, and that was the cut in interconnect rates in March, and then the introduction of regulations later in the year that will see interconnection rates drop to 40 cents mobile termination rates drop to 40 cents by 2013. Definitely an interesting and strong story, and there's been a lot of repercussions around those cuts, specifically in the alternative telco market with the likes of Altec, Autopage Cellular, and Vox Telecom, and the Huge Group.
And
National Mobile. Seriously taking a knock off lower rates because they're no longer getting the arbitrage.
Vox Telecom was the one that that really took a knock. I mean, they wrote down the value of the goodwill in the acquisition of Vox Orion, the LCR provider. Least cost routing is obviously the biggest market that's been affected by the reduction in call termination rates. They did a big write-down of goodwill at Vox Orion. But as you say, these other operators are also affected, although to a lesser extent, because perhaps Altec, Autopage Cellular wasn't quite as exposed to the LCR market as Vox was. Same with Nashua Mobile. But the cellular service providers like Nashua Mobile and Autopage Cellular have also been hit by, I think, or going to maybe hit even more in the future by the cellular operators starting to cut costs. And the first thing they're going to look at is looking at the resale channel. So cutting things like connection incentive bonuses that they pay to LCR operators and simply reducing the margins that they pass on to the cellular service providers. So challenging times ahead for these guys, especially that given that, you know, call termination rates came from 125 to 89 during peak, and they're going to fall dramatically again. They're going to fall more in the next 3 years than they have fallen already by quite some margin. So, it's going to be fascinating to watch. But these guys shouldn't have been profiting from these high call termination rates in the first place. So they should have expected regulatory intervention on this issue. And by the way, after 2013, I don't think it's going to stop at 40 cents. I think it's going to carry on going down, and rightfully so. In the UK, Ofcom has just published new regulations. It's going to force the rates down to a fraction of what we're going to be at in 2014. I forget the exact figure, but it's fractions of a penny for termination rates. So I think expect the same thing to happen here. The operators are just going to have to become more efficient.
Well, I think the operators have complained and complained about the cuts, but at the end of the day, they know that it has to happen, and they're happy to do it. What they wanted from the regulator, though, was for them to do it over a longer period of time so that they can change their business models and take those profits out of the business model and then run a more streamlined and more efficient business.
Which is fair enough. Which is fair enough, because you don't want to put a shock in the system which is going to result in massive retrenchments.
Well,
you want to give these guys time to stop sponsoring every rugby team in the country, for example, and to start to find, you know, ways of reducing their operational costs. So I think a glide path is fair. I think they would have preferred a 5-year glide path, but they've been given a 3-year glide path. Effectively, it will be a 5-year glide path because the rates are going to continue to come down after 2013 as well.
Well, exactly that. It's going to be good for the market. Whether or not we're actually seeing a kickback on the mobile rates to the consumer,
That's more difficult to know. I was chatting to one industry executive, Howard Saxton, who was suggesting to me that, in fact, what's happened is they've quietly actually increased the average rate for retail to try and offset some of the wholesale cutting in call termination costs. But it's really, really, really difficult to analyze this actually, because these mobile operators have got so many different packages in the market that it's almost impossible. I mean, just as an average consumer, choosing the right package to get onto is a very tall order. Actually analyzing all these packages and trying to determine whether the average call rate to the average South African is actually coming down or not is so difficult to do, because there's so many different specials and options and tariffs and per minute and per second or per 30 seconds that it's actually really, really, really difficult to analyze.
Well, some clarity should come out of next year when the Consumer Protection Act comes into effect in March. And the operators, in fact, all retail businesses will have to be more transparent on the contracting prices that they offer. And so they will have to sort of break it down slightly more, and it should become more transparent next year.
Let's hope so. I personally think that ICASA should have intervened already to deal with this issue of per minute and per second billing. I think that the regulator should mandate the operators to charge only one type of tariffing, and that is per second billing. And per minute billing should not exist in this market, because it just confuses people.
It does indeed, and I agree.
Yeah, I mean, that's a criticism I have of ATA, the fact that all their products, except one, I think, offer only per minute billing.
That's true, on the contract side, yeah.
Yes, and on the prepaid side. Prepaid billing is also per minute. It looks cheap at 1.50 a minute, but once you actually realize that it's per minute billing or per second billing, it actually becomes significantly more expensive. You could add 20, 30, 40% to the price.
Absolutely.
The average price. So it's, if the chairman of ICASA is listening to this podcast, there's a project for 2011. I dare you. Introduce per second billing across all packages, mandated. Good. Candice, a huge story this year was the Didata NTT deal. That's my number two pick for this year. 24.4 billion rand all-cash offer to buy out South Africa's largest IT group from the Japanese.
Wow, it was an incredible investment in the local economy, and it's definitely going to make waves next year. Already the talk of interesting stuff coming out of there.
NTT obviously is they bought Didata because of its services business, but we're seeing Internet Solutions becoming our third investor in the new FiberCo project with Cell C and Andile Taba's convergence partners to roll out a national fiber broadband network. Could be this be the first step in a move by NTT to establish itself as a telecommunications operator in South Africa? Well, that would be really interesting.
Would definitely shake up the market, wouldn't it?
It would indeed.
Oh, I know that they're doing a little bit of a buyback of their own shares internationally, so they're looking to strengthen themselves. So it's very interesting to see what will come out of it.
Mm. Let's watch the space. But I actually think it would make sense for NTT, quite frankly, to buy Telkom.
It could actually be a very good move. Whether or not government will let it go remains to be seen, though.
Because then you'd get the services arm, which Telkom so desperately needs, the IT services arm in the form of Dimension Data. You'd get this valuable asset in the form of Internet Solutions. And you've got some very strong players. You've got the MTN, MTN Business grouping. You've got Vodacom on the other side of Vodacom Business. And imagine a Telkom Didata play. You'd have three major entities in this market all all competing head on, I think it'd be great. I don't think that necessarily you say the Competition Commission would approve such a deal. I think the Competition Commission has it in for Telkom in a way because of the time that they've tied up to the competition authorities in court over a period of years related to allegations of anti-competitive behaviour. But it may make sense if indeed that's what NTT wants to do. We don't know that at all. But
while Diet Data is not leaving South Africa, it is also a little bit of an end of an era. I mean, the business has been a strong technology business in this country and has really dominated headlines. And
it's done it. I mean, it's an incredibly big company now. It's been listed on the JSE, I think, back in 1987. During that IT boom that occurred in the late 80s, lived through the second boom in the late 90s, and then got itself into all sorts of trouble after overextending itself. Eventually had to get bailed out by Johan Rupert and Venfin Group back in the early 2000s. But kudos to Jeremy Orden, to the CEO, Brett Dawson, for what they've achieved over the years. I think there was a lot of hubris in the market in the late 1990s, and when I spoke to Jeremy Orden a year or two ago about this, and he said, we felt invincible. There was a lot of arrogance around in the IT circles and at Dimension Data. And he says after the dot-com bubble burst, all that hubris just vanished, and companies, whereas before companies would, I think the phrase he used was would swallow our bullshit. They now say they actually became quite aware, quite cognizant of what IT can actually achieve in their organizations. And so the whole mystique around IT went away after the dot-com bubble burst. And chatting to Jeremy now, you get a view of a humbled organization in a way. But they've done a fantastic job over the last 10 years rebuilding themselves from that crash. And it's a real testament to Jeremy Orr, to Brett Dawson, and the entire management team at Dimension Data that they've built it into an organization that they've been able to sell for almost 25 billion rand to one of the world's preeminent telecommunications and IT companies.
Absolutely, and definitely kudos to them for that growth. That's been exceptional.
Mm. Good, great. We're at number one now, Candice. two more picks to go. Candice, what's your news story for 2010?
Well, definitely kept me in my bread and butter this year is the political hoo-ha in the telecommunications industry. Firstly, thanks to former communications minister General Siphiwe Nyanda and his fiery director general, Mamadupi Motlala, for keeping us well entertained this year.
It's like watching the Punch and Judy show.
it's been quite fiery and quite, and in fact, disastrous. I shouldn't be giggling and laughing. It is quite a serious situation.
It's a joke. It's a joke, but not in the ha-ha sense of the joke. It's a joke as in it is an absolute disgrace what happened.
It was. The Department of Communications literally fell apart as this political bashing situation happened between Siphiwe Nyanda and his director general when he fired her, supposedly over running a story in the media accusing him of tender irregularities. And they never really resolved their issues, and she is quite strong-willed and fiery, as we say. And it was just a disaster. I mean, the department fell apart under all of this drama.
And then he had to unfire her.
Oh, yes. It was a court settlement which unfired her, but she took leave until the Minister of Public Service and Administration, Richard Baloyi, could find her another position, which she has now. And it seems to have really fits with her personality and her abilities, actually. And then that's the head of the organization that's going to be similar to ICASA, but governing the Communications Protection Act. The Consumer Protection Act. And she will be sort of overseeing, making sure that businesses actually follow the letter of the law.
So we definitely haven't heard the last of Ms. Motlala. I think she may be in the headlines again next year once the CPA is in effect and she starts to crack down on companies that are in violation of the CPA. Given her, as you described, fiery nature, I think she's not going to hold back on issues where she thinks she can wade in. So she'll be in the headlines next year.
Guaranteed. I'm not sure that the Gen will be in many headlines. He also has a new job. He is the parliamentary liaison for President Jacob Zuma.
Mm.
I think
interesting job.
Indeed. I as I said before, I think that's a job for the deputy president. But we shall see what comes out of that. I think
he of course turned down. We understand from our sources that he turned down a political posting a diplomatic posting to Berlin, where he would have replaced the German ambassador.
Edi Fundi,
that's right, former SABC chairman, a very controversial character too. Edi Fundi was very seriously injured in a car crash earlier this year. I'm not entirely certain of his prognosis at the moment, but he, I believe, is unable to work. And so Zuma, I believe, had wanted to deploy Nyanda to a safe distance in Germany. Nyanda apparently turned this down, hence the offer of it being Zuma's liaison to Parliament. What Nyanda's long-term political ambitions are, who knows, although we're hearing murmurings that he seeks higher political office, which worries me a bit, really, given his background.
There is good news, however, in the communications department, and that was the appointment of Roy Padiachi.
It appears to be good news.
To the ministry. Well, you know, he's got a good background and a good history and a good track record so far.
And he's open and communicative.
He is, and although the department hasn't been as communicative as I would have liked on this whole DTT issue, but we'll see. We'll you know, give him a good six months to settle, and I know he has a lot to do at the department itself, which has, you know, come apart at the seams, and he's got to stitch that back together and look at the financials and the irregularities that went on there and the that came out in the annual report.
He's got a lot to fix. SABC, top of the list.
Oh, absolutely, which he's already started on, and, you know, so we'll see how that goes, and we'll give him a little bit of time to settle in before we really judge him.
But, let's I'm actually become so cynical about politicians. I mean, we saw the Sunday Times lead story a couple of weeks ago where it made claims that not denied that Padiachi was staying in the Sheraton Hotel in Pretoria for a period of years at extreme expense to taxpayers. Not necessarily all fine and dandy over at the Ministry of Communications under Padiachi, but as you say, let's give him the benefit of the doubt for now and see what he can do on the policy and operational front in his portfolio in the next year.
Well, Duncan, I hope your number one story is slightly less depressing than mine.
Oh, very much so. Very, very, very much less depressing. We made him our Newsmaker of the Year on Tech Central for 2010. Check out the website for our list of international and local newsmakers. But our local Newsmaker of the Year for 2010 was, without doubt, Lars Reifeldt, the CEO of Cell C. And my pick of story of the year is Cell C and its new network. Incredibly quick rollout of a 4G of a 3G network. Rolled out to Cape Town, Johannesburg, Gauteng, so Pretoria, Johannesburg, Durban, Pietermaritzburg, Nelspruit. Trying to put it into the list of stories as they came out. Polokwane, Bloemfontein, George, East London, Port Elizabeth. I think I've got about all of them there. Really setting the cat amongst the pigeons, getting Celsius' much bigger rivals, MTN and Vodacom, to finally sit up and take notice of this smaller player and actually take it seriously for the first time. All credit to Lars Reichel. He's really, really reinventing what Celsius is and its market positioning. And he's actually made it a sexy company again, whereas before it was, you know, this also ran 2G voice company, which no one really actually cared about. It didn't really have any differentiation over its two bigger rivals, and it had no 3G offering, which was a problem. But he's come in, a very tech-savvy individual. He's introduced the country's first nationwide 3G network running in the 900 megahertz band, which brings a number of important advantages over the 2100 megahertz band that are used by MTN and Vodacom. In that they can deploy city services in rural areas over a much larger footprint, and also they don't need to necessarily deploy as many base stations as they otherwise would have. Also, the 900 megahertz 3G signal provides better penetration into buildings, so it you should have a more consistent experience time will tell whether that's actually going to be the case, but you should have a more consistent experience. But definitely my pick for story of the year is CellC and the work they're doing. Of course, they've got a lot more work to do. They're promising to reach, I think, 97% of the country's population by this time next year, which is a big step up from where they are at the moment. That's going to require really deploying this infrastructure in rural areas. And they need the backhaul infrastructure to the towers to continue to support this. The last thing we need now is for everyone to sign up for CellC and then the network falls over because they don't have the IP microwave and the fiber backhaul that they need in place to support a large number of users.
Well, that's where FiberCo should fill the gaps.
That's where FiberCo, the joint venture with Convergence Partners and Internet Solutions, should help fill the gaps. Although rolling out fiber takes a long time, so I think it's going to take a couple of years before we start to see this fiber connected to these base stations. So let's hope that they've got they can get the connectivity they need for now from Telkom or through their own providing their own IP microwave backhaul links until such time as FiberCo can come on board. But
well, there's also Neotel, InfraCo. There's a lot of places where they can get their backhaul from now.
Yeah. Although very often the fiber doesn't run to the base stations, so there is still going to be a lot of trenching required. CellC definitely our story of the year. As far as I'm concerned, it's certainly the good news story of the year.
They kicked the year off with a bang when Lars Reichelt, the CEO, announced that he'd managed to convince the shareholders to turn its debt into equity. And that was already a huge step forward for Celsius. They were drowning in debt, and he's managed to sort of mitigate some of that quite extensively. It's really a kick in the right direction for Celsius, right from the word go, from the beginning of this year.
Mm. Would you consider moving your... you're playing around with the speed stick. Would you consider switching wholesale from your current provider to CellC at this stage?
Yes.
Including your voice services?
Absolutely.
What compelling reason would you do so?
Well, at the moment, my current provider, and I'm not going to name names because it's unfair at the moment, but my current provider is just, it hasn't managed to keep up with the quality that the others have managed to push into the market. And unfortunately, at the moment, I am so frustrated with my provider that I would actually easily port to CellC.
Interesting, yeah.
Also because the data rates are... the out-of-bundle data rates and the contract data rates are exceptional. They're really special rates and they're, very compelling. The voice, I would like to see a little bit more competition in the voice side from CellC. But at the moment, simply getting a bundled service voice on cell phone and a speed stick, definitely worth the move.
So CellC is more appealing to you than ATA?
Yes. Unfortunately, yes. I think ATA is a little bit... definitely competitive and definitely compelling, and their voice rates are very good. But I'm not sure about their quality just yet. I think CellC's campaign in terms of their quality and their speed—they've really pushed the bar on the marketing. Where I think Telkom could have done a little bit more.
That's true. They certainly have spent a lot of money on marketing and Trevor Noah.
Well, I think getting into trouble has given them a little bit of a boost as well.
I think that copyright symbol, they knew exactly what was going to happen.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure the entire campaign was very well crafted.
I think the 4G thing may have caught them off guard, but certainly the 4GS thing, but I think the copyright symbol, they knew they were going to catch flag for that.
Definitely.
And hey, if people are talking about your brand, that's good for you.
Well, they are. Look at Nando's.
Exactly. And to get Nando's to imitate your marketing, you must really be doing something right. Because Nando's is renowned for their very clever marketing campaigns. But yeah, well done to CellC for making it as Lars Reichelt, the CEO, as our newsmaker of the year, and also our story for 2010. And Candice, your pick of the year, much less positive news, but also a very big story this year was, of course, the Punch and Judy show of Sipiwe Nyandebo Modupi Motlhala.
Indeed.
Good. Well, I think that's all the time we have for this week. In fact, we're well over our normal period, but this is a bumper end of year edition. So we hope you enjoyed the show. And we'll be back in the new year with another episode of Talk Central and some interesting new developments on the show. So look out for those. As always, you can email us at info@techcentral.co.za for feedback. Or use the website. Oh, and I almost forgot. We have a giveaway this week.
Ah, excellent.
Yeah, I'm about to sign off and I forgot we were giving away some great prizes this week. We have some Ergo Tilt laptop stands to give away. We've got three of them this week. I believe this is a locally manufactured product. And you've used one, Candace.
I have. I swear by the thing. It is fantastic. It's very simple. There's very little that you can do to you know, change the structure of this thing. But putting my laptop on an Ergo Tilt, which is basically a stand you lift up, it lifts up your keyboard, it just literally changed my world. I used to get carpal tunnel quite badly, and when I started using the Ergo Tilt, it sort of went away. It is a fantastic little product, definitely worth a buy, and congratulations to whoever gets this one. I'm jealous.
Great. Well, we've got three of those to give away, so how should we do this? I think email us at info@techcentral.co.za and tell us what you think your news pick of the year is. What do you think the biggest story was of 2010? You don't have to say. I mean, we're not expecting any particular answer. We just want to get your views on the subject. And the first three people to mail us will get the Ergo Tilts. info@techcentral.co.za with your technology news story of the year. And with that, I think it's time to sign off. Candace, it's been a great year. Have a great holiday. Have a good Christmas.
Happy Hanukkah.
And I'll see you in the new year.
Indeed.
Great. Thanks. And thanks for listening to the show. Bye-bye.